Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hi, and welcome to Be Radiant Radio. I'm Angela Loeb, and I appreciate your tuning in for this particular episode. I hope you enjoy it. I want to be inspiring today. I want to be inspired, and I want to be inspiring. So I'm going to start off with something Howard Thurman famously said. He said, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it, because what the world needs is people who have come alive. Inspiring. Wise words, right? I agree. But I have a confession to make. I mean, whenever I see this quote, I can't help but also feel a little sad, too, because it makes me think of all the times I've asked people what they really would like to be doing, and then when I hear their depressing no-can-do reasons for why they're not doing it, it just kind of makes me sad. So, I mean, really, after a couple of decades in the career business, I'm pretty sure I've heard it all. I mean, these are some of the classics. Like, I hear things like, no one wants to hire me to do what I really want to do. I can't make any money doing that. I'd be laughed out the door if I proposed it. I tried it and it didn't work. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too inexperienced. I'm too broke. Maybe when I retire. Well, I mean, those are the classics. Those are the ones I hear the most, but I'm pretty sure I've heard it all. And even after all this time, I still have the same response to these no-can-do reasons. Number one, there's always a way to do something that can make you come alive, even if you don't get paid for it. And two, just because you don't get paid now, it doesn't mean you won't ever get paid for it. People with great minds and great willpower who have made great contributions to our society, they got laughed at, they failed, they didn't get paid at first for their dream, they were old when they started, they were inexperienced when they started because maybe they were pioneers at it. I mean, they didn't have any money. They figured out a way. I mean, there's so many people with so many great stories, and I want to tell you about some of those. So here's the first one. Did you know that Albert Einstein's teacher thought he daydreamed too much, and his teacher predicted that he'd never amount to anything? I wonder what that teacher said when Einstein was awarded the Nobel Prize in Physics. Ray Kroc. That's another good one. He started expanding McDonald's. He got into this at a late age, too. He was 52. And even if you're not a fan of fast food, you have to admit that the Big Mac makes a big difference to some people in our society. The Ronald McDonald House, which came out of the whole McDonald's company, their mission is to keep families together and keep them near where the family member needs care, especially children. And in 2017, they provided more than 2.45 million overnight stays in Ronald McDonald houses, which saved families over $880 million in lodging and meals. So, yeah, the Big Mac has made a big contribution. During the war between the states, also known as the American Civil War, Claire Barton helped to collect bandages and supplies at first, just like many women did at that time. But then she started going in person to the battlefields. In many of the major battles of the war, she was there, nursing, comforting, cooking for the wounded. She earned a nickname, the Angel of the Battlefield. And in 1881, at the age of 59 years old, she founded the American Red Cross. And after that, she led it for another 23 years, until she was 83 years old, mind you, during an era when leading a large institution was considered to be unfitting for a woman. Wow, we've come a long way. Now, on the other end of the age spectrum, we have Michaela Ulmer, who doesn't think she's too young to do something big. In fact, Michaela doesn't seem to have a no-can-do term. That term is not even in her vocabulary. I doubt she'll ever have that in her vocabulary, because when she was 4 years old, she came up with her honey-sweetened flaxseed recipe for lemonade that later evolved into this award-winning product that you can find on the shelves at Whole Foods. And now she's 13 years old. She's the CEO of her company. She's a social entrepreneur. According to the website, she's a social entrepreneur, a bee ambassador, educator, and, of course, she's a student because, you know, she's still 13 years old. So that's really cool. And now, speaking of delighting young people, did you know that in 1918, Walt Disney, he attempted to enlist for military service in World War I, but he was rejected because he was underage, because he was only 16 years old at the time. Now, he wasn't one to give up easily, so he joined the Red Cross, thank you, Clara Barton, and instead of the service, he went into the Red Cross, and he was sent overseas to France, and he spent a year driving an ambulance and chauffeuring Red Cross officials around. Now, his ambulance wasn't covered with the usual stock camouflage, but instead with Disney cartoons. So, of course, right? And when he returned from France, he began to pursue a career in commercial art, thank goodness. He started a company that failed. It was called the Laugh-O-Grams Company and eventually went bankrupt. But again, thank goodness he didn't give up. He had a suitcase and $20 in his pocket, and he headed to Hollywood for a new start. And, of course, the rest is history. And speaking of Hollywood, here's a great story. It's Fred Astaire. It's a good thing Fred Astaire decided to do what made him come alive. Wow, what a dancer, huh? And it's a good thing he didn't let rejection stand in his way either. The motion picture screen test report on him read this, it read simply this: can't act, slightly bald, also dances. I think that is hilarious. Not exactly a raving review, right? But Astaire eventually ended up at RKO Studios, where he and Ginger Rogers made the top musicals of that era, like my particular favorite, Shall We Dance, and, of course, Top Hat. And if you haven't seen Shall We Dance, you've got to see it, especially the ice skating scene. They're dancing on ice. On roller skates, and the kind you attach to your shoes, mind you. Anyway, they brought lighthearted entertainment, and they lifted the spirits of movie audiences during the dark days of the Great Depression. Now, here's another one you might have heard this one before. Did you know that Henry Ford studied the way meat processing was done, and then he adapted the methods that he saw as an assembly line to build automobiles? Now, fortunately, he didn't use a market survey to tell him whether he should or shouldn't build automobiles. In fact, inventors of the automobile back then were laughed at because no one thought they'd catch on, and no one thought they'd replace what had been working for centuries, the horse-drawn cart or horse-drawn carriage. Anyway, it was one of those things that he did, one of the many things he did, that helped to make automobiles affordable for just about everyone so that you could own a car, and it became more than just a novelty. Thank goodness Henry Ford did what made him come alive. One of my favorite stories, and I first read about this man when I was about 10 years old, so he made a really strong impression on me when I was about in fifth or sixth grade, and it's about a man who was born a slave, George Washington Carver. He eventually rose from his situation as a slave to go to college and what's known now as Iowa State University, and in 1894, he became the first African-American to earn a Bachelor of Science degree. A couple of years later, he earned a Master of Agriculture degree, and he used it to teach poor farmers what they could to become more sustainable, like feeding hogs acorns instead of commercial feed, or enriching their crops with swamp muck, you know, muck from the swamp, instead of using fertilizers. You might say he was an environmentalist who encouraged sustainability far ahead of his time. He promoted alternative crops to cotton and methods to prevent soil depletion, so he was big on crop rotation. He invented numerous products from sweet potatoes, peanuts, and soybeans. He earned the nickname the Peanut Man. In spite of World War I, this is a really cool part of the story. During World War II, they had a ban on non-war expenditures. You couldn't spend, they had rations, and it was such a time of making sure that they didn't have extra expenditures. So this was big when Senator Harry Truman, who was a senator at the time, he sponsored a bill in favor of a monument to Carver. Now, Carver died in 1943, but even before then, Senator Truman was trying to get this bill passed. And when Carver did pass away in 1943, President Franklin Roosevelt dedicated the first national monument for an African American, and it was the first to honor someone other than a president. he was honored in many other ways long after his death, including being inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame in 1990. So, yeah, Washington, George Washington Carver, one of my favorites. Now, while we're on the topic of inventors, can you just imagine, think about this, like, can you imagine being one of the neighbors who lived in North Carolina near Kitty Hawk Beach, and you heard about those crazy Wright brothers, and they were down on the beach trying to make that contraption fly? It just kind of blows my mind that we were in an era where we couldn't fly, right? And there are the Wright brothers doing it. Obviously, these folks that I've talked about today, they did what they did, and they came alive doing it, so much so that we know who they are. They made, and in the case of young Michaela, CEO of Me and the Bees Lemonade, who's still making, they made a lasting contribution. Now, there's a chance you won't be rich or famous. You might, and unlike them, you might not be rich or famous from doing what makes you come alive, or maybe you will. But you'll definitely be happier and more productive, and that's far better than being held back by no-can-do reasons. That we don't need that energy. We want energy that makes you alive, right? So in my experience in supporting so many people during their career transitions, I've observed this really simple fact. When people are enthusiastic about what they do, when they're coming alive doing what they do, they're simply more attractive to those who would be willing to buy in to doing, you know, to either hiring them, so whether it's during an interview with a prospective employer to get hired, or whether it's funding them, so during an interview with the angel investor to get an idea funded. Really, what makes you come alive? And if you haven't figured that out already, find a way to do it, because like the man said, what the world needs is people who have come alive. Well, that does it for today's episode of Be Radiant Radio. Hopefully you feel inspired. I do. Thanks so much for joining me. And before I go, let me remind you that you can reach out to me through my website if you'd like. And while you're there, you can learn more about my services, programs, upcoming events. And if you want to, you can check out articles and other resources that I have there. Some of these are free resources. Here's the best way to find all of that. Just use AngelaLoeb.com. That's AngelaLoeb.com. Again, thanks. I had a blast sharing all of these inspiring stories with you. Okay, until next time, remember to keep on shining like you're meant to.